in dependence upon Thee, Lord, for all needed help. I venture to draw Your prayerful attention to Psalm 23 and a part of verse 1. Psalm 23, verse 1, and the first clause. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Precious words, well-known words, much loved words, words that we were first taught as a little child, and as the Lord, the Holy Spirit, works in sinners' hearts, these words become more precious as we grow older. And how oft have we heard these words expressed by the dear saints in old age, down in the eventide of life's journey, yea, even as they come to the end, to enter in by the gates into the city. The language is intensely personal. Happy soul that in faith, with the assurance of the work of the Holy Spirit within, is enabled thus to say, the Lord is my shepherd. In my journey here this morning, meditating for a moment on these words, I saw a fresh beauty therein, a glimpse of that which I personally had never seen before. It was this: the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, and then the word shepherd. What, or we may say who, found in the heart, in the arms, in the love, and in the constant care of this shepherd. All his sheep and his lambs. I am reminded here of the words of our risen Redeemer. Ere he entered glory, the promise to his dear people, exceeding great and precious, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. I have often named this. I have no knowledge of the original, but I understand those words translated would appear like this: I with you am. What beauty shines in those words. What a strength to our drooping faith. What a comfort to our weary souls. What upholding there is here when we are cast down. For Jehovah Jesus is the I Am. We said this morning, this same Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Good Shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am thy God. Now the I Am. Who is found in the center, in the heart, in the arms of everlasting love of the I Am. I with you am. His dear children, all beloved, with salvation's walls surrounded, thou mayest smile at all thy foes, look at thy eternal safety. Thy life is hid with Christ in God. What beauty is found and observed in these precious, soul-comforting words, the Lord, my Shepherd. Now, as we think of sheep and lambs, we are reminded first of this, that they belong to somebody. Who do you belong to? I speak, my friend, with love to your soul. Either we are the children of God or the children of the devil. Where do we stand? I say the sheep and lambs of Christ's fold are his. If we meditate upon sheep and lambs, a flock, in eastern lands, we turn first of all our eyes from the flock to the Shepherd, that shepherd who has, as a faithful shepherd, the responsibility of that flock, that constant care, that watchful love by day and by night over that flock. Doubtless there have been records of wonderful bravery and unceasing care in a human sense of earthly shepherds. We have, of course, an example of this with David, the shepherd lad, when a lion and a bear would have taken a lamb from the fold. What bravery, and yet what acknowledgement that it was by God's help that he delivered the lamb from the mouth of the lion and the paw of the bear. But all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We are lost. We know not the shepherd. We seek not the shepherd that is in that state in which we are born. But a redemption price has to be paid. An almighty power has to be put forth in the salvation of these sheep and lambs, this little flock of whom the dear Lord Jesus speaks. The price paid was none other than the life laid down by this good shepherd, none other than the precious blood shed by the Saviour at Calvary's cross. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What a demonstration this is of the utter lost, ruined state of the sheep and of the lamb. What a demonstration this is of the wonderful love of the shepherd, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. And Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. When Boaz took Ruth to be his bride, it revealed wonderful grace, compassion, and love. But Boaz did not lay down his life for her. When Paul writes to Philemon concerning the restored runaway slave, the brother now beloved, Onesimus, and that he owes, I says Paul, I will repay thee, I'll pay that debt. Wonderful love of the apostle. But he did not lay down his life for Onesimus. Here we have, my friend, the greatest, most wonderful example of love seen at Calvary in the dear Redeemer. And oh, that that love may be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And as that love flows into your poor soul, oh, how love will flow out of your heart to Jesus Christ. And oh, that my soul could love and praise him more, his beauty's trace, his majesty adore, live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice, and all his will esteem. The apostle could testify, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The apostle tells us of that me, a blasphemer, a persecutor, and yet of the wonderful grace of God, of the love of the Savior, that sought out and found that wandering sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, the Savior paid the price. Redeemed we are by his most precious blood. Now, as I said, redemption by price, redemption by power. And that power of heaven by the Holy Ghost put forth personally in a sinner's heart, in each of these sheep and lambs chosen before the world began, given by the Father into the hand of his dear Son, all for whom Christ died, they shall come. But they are so far from God, they know not the shepherd, they see not the shepherd in their state of unregeneracy. But our mercy is this, that the good shepherd seeks and saves that which was lost. The dear Savior speaks of the shepherd with 100 sheep, and one of them is missing. And he goes, does the shepherd, to seek and to find the sheep that is lost. And when he hath found it, oh, that the finding of the lost sheep brings joy to the shepherd, rejoicing in heaven by angels over sinners brought to repentance. Jesus sought me. I would never have sought him, but he first sought me. And when he sought me, then I sought him. Then I long to hear the shepherd's voice. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to save my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. So the Lord is my shepherd. And thus the lost sheep is found, called by his grace, gathered in one by one into the arms of the shepherd. And oh, what a mercy it is, under the teaching of the Holy Spirit, to be a feelingly lost, helpless, ruined sinner, and to know the love of Christ toward you, that grace that reaches you, those arms of love that gathers you and brings you in and causes you to come from that place of danger and distress and darkness and banishment from God, to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that good shepherd of the sheep. And here I am reminded of an anecdote, true, that has been told me, that there was a shepherd and one of his sheep missing. And that sheep had wandered far and gone over step by step the edge of a cliff, as I gather it was, doubtless seeking pasture and feeling that here is something better, and step by step down the side of the cliff and nibble here and a nibble there until the sheep was lost. In this sense, it couldn't go back up the cliff. It could go no further down the cliff, and there it would perish. But for the shepherd seeking the lost sheep and looked up from the foot of the cliff and saw his lost sheep there on the ledge. What did he do? I would have thought he would have clambered up or down the cliff accordingly and gathered the sheep in his arms and taken it back. He did nothing of the sort. He left it. What? Is this the shepherd's care? Is this the shepherd's love? Again, I understand later, he went and had another look. Left the sheep. The third time he went, and the poor thing was weakness itself. No strength at all. Then the shepherd went and gathered this sheep in his arms. Why didn't he do it before? All the time that sheep had got any strength, it might have taken fright at the shepherd coming down the cliff and cast itself down in its fright to its death and destruction at the foot of the cliff. The shepherd waited until the sheep was utterly helpless, friend. I believe that, and I speak with reverence. That's how God saves sinners. We have to be shown, friend, what lost sinners we are. We have to be stripped of all hope in self. Everything of self has to go, and then the dear shepherd comes and gathers up that sheep in his arms and carries that one in his bosom. The Lord is my shepherd. So then, as the sheep is gathered, as that sheep is brought into the flock and into the fold, oh, as we think of the Eastern Shepherd, how he goes before the sheep and the sheep follow him, how their eyes must, if lest they wander, be fastened on the shepherd that does everything for them, finds them the pasturage, leads them the way, preserves them from the enemies, delivers them from the robber, preserves them from wild beasts, keeps them from poison, keeps them from wandering, heals the sheep when it is sick, applies the oil when the sheep is weary. And as in my simple meditation on these words, praying that the Lord would make them, as it were, revivingly fresh into our souls at this afternoon, "The Lord is my shepherd," I thought on this, how that, if only grace is afforded, that I might keep my eyes more firmly fixed and fastened on my shepherd, on my Jesus, that has done all things well. And this was confirmed in that last verse we've sung, matchless Jesus. You can't find anyone to compare to Jesus Christ. Compared with Christ, in all beside no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Here is the pearl of great price. Here is the chief shepherd. Here is my Savior. Here is my beloved. Here is my friend. Here is the chiefest among 10,000. Here is this altogether lovely one, matchless Jesus. May we be wholly taken up with thee, and in every deep distress lean upon thy truth and grace. The Lord is my shepherd. A token of being numbered in the fold is that there is a mark. The Lord sets a mark on all his dear children, and all of us, all mankind, have one mark on them or the other. It's the mark of the beast, as we read of in Revelation, or the mark of the Lamb. And which one is it? How oft it has been said, and rightly said, that the sheep cannot see the mark on its own back. Some people find fault with that hymn, 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? We do pray to be delivered from doubts and fears, and from the dreadful power of unbelief. But my friend, we do want to be made right. We do want the teaching of the Spirit, do we not? Now, how are we to know that we have this mark? Well, the Word of God is as a mirror, and the Word of God shows the mark of the sheep. They hear the shepherd's voice, and the Lord Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and am known of mine. A saving knowledge, a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. We see the mark clearly in others where we cannot always see it in ourselves. But this is our comfort. The sheep marked, that mark will never be erased. The mark of that celestial seal shall never be erased. Whom once he loves, he never leaves, and loves them with an unfailing, unchanging love. Marked. And oh, my friend, that we may have that sweet assurance that we are numbered in this flock. And a mark of it is this, that sheep love their own company. I am told that a sheep alone will be unhappy. Who is your company? Being let go, they went to their own company. We read, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Our passing from death unto life is through the death of Christ, the good shepherd on the sheep, and the blood that he shed, and the work of grace in our heart. But an outward evidence, a fruit of the real root, is love to the brethren. I love to meet among them now, and at thy gracious feet to bow, though vilest of them all. And my friends, sheep vary in temperament. I did not know this until a few years ago, speaking to a dear friend down in Wiltshire. He showed me two pet lambs, and the difference in those lambs in the temperament. One friendly, came straight up to us, the other held back quite timidly. So in the flock, there are different dispositions. I have read also that in some flocks there's what is called the bully sheep, the one that's always giving trouble. Now, if I speak like this, friend, I'm not speaking of any church or congregation whatsoever comes to my mind. What I do is preach to myself and warn myself that, oh, how sad and solemn if I'm a troublemaker in the flock, if I'm one of these that distresses the other sheep, causes a disturbance among them. May God preserve us from it. The Lord is my shepherd. And so in the flock of Christ, you have some that are more afraid, often full of fear, some that may show more affection. But if sheep, as we are speaking of them as such, redeemed by the blood, they dwell together. And how patient those that are stronger should be to bear the infirmities of those that are weak. And never, my friend, speak disparagingly or unkindly of those that may not have such strong faith as you. You will may well know later in your life, when your faith will be tried, when you will be full of fear, and you will be thankful for a kindly word of encouragement in your path of anxiety and fears. The Lord is my shepherd. And here is the full provision. I shall not want. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, the Eastern Shepherd did, as we might say, did everything for his sheep. And I need, and dear old Mr. Stanley Delves used to say that, I believe, I need a Jesus that does everything, does all the saving. And I say amen to that. And I believe there are many here that can add their fervent amen to that. Lord, I need thee to do everything, everything for this poor, unworthy sinner. And oh, the wonder that thou shouldst do anything for me, the greater wonder that ever thou shouldst love me, the greater wonder that ever thou shouldst die for me, the ever greater wonder that ever thou shouldst call me by thy grace and gather me to thyself. Oh, Lord, what can I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I'll take the cup of salvation. I'll bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. When will you find sheep resting in peace and comfort? When there is no noise, no disturbance, and when they are well fed, when the bully sheep doesn't give any trouble. And you know, I've read also in the life of a shepherd how that sheep can be so pestered with insects, making them very restless. Something that we might say so very, very small compared with a sheep, and yet can bring such restlessness. Friend, do not we know something of the restlessness sometimes through little minute things that make us fretful, irritate us, get under the skin? We don't seem to have any patience whatsoever to endure them. But my friend, when the sheep lies down, then all is quiet. all is peaceful, and that one is well fed and led beside the still waters. I gather too from my shepherd record that the sheep will not drink from fast moving water. They're too frightened. It must be still, it must be quiet, it must be peaceful. Now when the Lord Jesus comes, and when he says to your poor troubled heart, be still, when he drops a word into your heart, when he gives you a kiss of his mouth, when, as he were, gives you a token of love, when he says, I'm with thee, Israel, passing through the fire, oh my friend, can't you lie down then? Isn't there a sweet resting in the arms of Jesus? Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there with his love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest. Isn't that a place of refreshing? Isn't it a place of reviving? Isn't it a place of quietness? Isn't it a place of blessing? But then sheep are prone to wander. Oh, my friend, it's a great mercy to be afraid of ourselves. A great mercy to pray to be kept by the power of God. Oh, and wandering, backsliding, turning aside sometimes is very, very subtle. It may not be at a right angle, as I've sometimes said. It may be the slightest deviation from the path the shepherd is leading. And yet the further we go, the further away from the shepherd we go. And I gather too that some lambs are more prone to wander than others. You may find that in a family. You may find that in a church. Some seem to need, in a sense, more prayer, more care, and give more concern perhaps than others. I have been told, I trust it was right ever so many years ago in Wales, I believe it was, that a shepherd, if he found a lamb that constantly wandered away, did something to me which was very terrible and which I wouldn't advocate, but he would take that lamb and break one of its legs and then would bind it up and carry the lamb till the lamb was strengthened and able to walk again, and that lamb never left the shepherd again. My friends, how tenderly does the Lord deal with us in our backslidings and our wanderings from him. Oh, I say, how we do wander. We may not go into the world, mercy to be kept. We may still fill our custom place in the sanctuary, great mercy, and yet be so far off, be in that state of backsliding and wanting to go our way instead of following in the footsteps of the flock. Perverse, oh, it's a solemn word, obstinate, perverse and foolish. What a fool I've been. Perverse and foolish, oft I've strayed, and yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home a rejoicing brought me. Oh, friend, it's a great mercy that the shepherd doesn't lose his sheep, doesn't let them wander too far away, but seeks them out and brings them back. Peter could witness the look of his Lord that broke his heart, and David too, he restoreth my soul. So then, here are these precious words, the Lord is my shepherd. I come back to the place of rest. It's a sweet place to rest in the Lord, sweet place to rest in those everlasting arms, but what care we need that it is resting in Jesus and not making a bed of carnal ease to go to sleep on. I read recently, God puts thorns in the beds of his people, lest they sleep the sleep of death. Beware of enchanted ground. Beware of resting in false peace, resting outside Jesus Christ. Beware, beloved, of this great danger. We may be lively, we may shelter close to the shepherd when the wolf roars, when dangers threaten on every side. But we need to keep close when all is quiet, when we are prospered in the things of this life, lest we, like Jeshurun, wax fat and kick. Again, my shepherd friend in the book I've read not long back tells me this. A sheep can be in great danger. It loves to find a comfortable spot to rest in. So far, so good. There is a rest for sheep, as we have just named. He maketh me, and that's a beautiful word. The love and compassion of the shepherd of Jesus Christ, he maketh me. Come ye apart and rest a while. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Elijah, the angel is sent to you. He knows how weary you are. Here, refreshment and the double touch. The journey is too great for thee. Blessed places of rest, real rest. But, my friend, there's a danger, I say, of finding our own rest. What happens literally to the sheep that, as it were, gets itself in a most comfortable position? The poor thing can't get up. It's helpless. And gases fill the sheep, and the blood supply is cut off from its legs, and the poor thing is helpless. And needs the shepherd to appear very quickly to deliver it from certain death. You see, friend, there's the valley of the shadow of death. There's death as you see the wolf. There's death as you see the thief or the hireling or poison in the pasturage. But there can be deaths where there seems to be no death. Danger where there appears to be no danger. And what need we have to pray, Lord, let me never build a nest for myself. Let me never rest short of resting in Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. Further, as I understand too, with the sheep, its fleece, its wool can grow so thick and get matted with matters of the earth. And thereby that can be a hindrance. And so, my friend, do not we cumber ourselves too much with the things of a dying world. Do not we need to watch and to pray against those things that weigh us down. There are burdens that we can never escape. But there's a burden bearer that will bear you and your burden. And that's our mercy. But, my friend, I feel at times we add to our burdens by loading ourselves up with earthly cares instead of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing that all these things shall be added unto us. The Lord is my shepherd, and the good shepherd leads the way, and it means that he's trod the path before the sheep does. And the good shepherd makes no mistake with your path, friend. He led them forth by the right way. Joseph, what have you got to tell us? He says to his brethren, ye meant it unto evil, but God meant it unto good. And our Jesus knows all your path, and tis all for the best. And sometimes it's the valley, the low place, the dark spot, the dangerous way, and it's the shadow of death. I'm reminded here of your dear former beloved pastor, so deeply loved and held in such great affection, I visited him once in hospital. I read this 23rd Psalm. I shall never forget, and you'll never forget, that quiet, solemn, loving way in which he used to look at us. And he just turned to me and said, "Friend, I'm no stranger to the valley of the shadow of death." And with it, you see, such a sweet sense. "Yes, and I'm no stranger," he said, "to the good shepherd being with me." So if there's any in the valley, any in the dark place, and this expression, death, but friend, it doesn't say death only, it says the shadow of death. I know there's literal death, physical death, but when a poor, struggling one is brought into a low place and you say, "Death is over everything. My religion is gone. Everything seems to be dead and finished." But my friend, the Lord will bring you through. And it's the shadow of death. Now, if there's a shadow, there must be some light somewhere. Must be a ray of light. And isn't that so with the redeemed? In your darkest moment, have you given up absolute hope? "Why, I come to your first hymn. Great God, to thee I make my griefs and sorrows known, and with a humble hope wait before thy throne. Though by my sins deserving hell, I'll not despair. For who can tell?" You can't give it up, can you, friend? Nearly is it all gone, but not quite. And when you come to the last valley of all, the Lord will be with you, and nothing shall separate you from his love. Dying grace in a dying hour. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, briefly, in the way of conclusion, the secret of that comfort in the valley is, thou art with me. And there is our unfailing God. He hath said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." But then I just want to touch this. The provision of the sheep, the pasturage, the food. And the Lord prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. It's not the banquet scene here. I know in the Word of God we read of the banqueting house, and the banner over me was love, blessed truth. We read of the gospel table. We read of the word in Isaiah, "Ho, every one that thirsteth, blessed word." But here I see still the shepherd and the sheep. And his duty and responsibility is to see the sheep are not poisoned. Our good shepherd watches over his sheep. And we have not spoken, though you may have thought, of the duties of an under-shepherd here. How we pray, "Lord, help us to provide clean food for the sheep. Nothing of poison, error within it." You see, the sheep might go, choose their own pasturage, and there might be something most injurious for the sheep in that pasturage. So thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. When you've come to God's house, tempted by Satan, knocked about, not knocked out, knocked down sometimes, buffeted, and the Lord prepares a table and answers the devil, feeds your soul, in the very, as it were, the very presence of the breathing of Satan down at your very back, I was going to say, and I speak with the utmost reverence. My friend, it's a sacred experience, the love of the shepherd to you in providing and then feeding your soul with sweet the words of his grace, and those green pastures, they're ever green, ever fresh. And the shepherd book that I read not long ago also brought this before us. The first three verses of this shepherd's psalm speaks of his assurance, and then the last three verses is speaking to the shepherd. Well, I don't know that I'd noticed that. You see, there's something always fresh. You might say, "Well, I know this psalm. I know there's nothing further that can be taught in it." Friend, We need to sit at the feet of Jesus and pray, Lord, speak to me and teach me. So there is the provision, the food for the sheep. And thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Beautiful is the illustration here. The end of the day, the sheep gathered into the fold, numbered, counted, passing under the rod. But there's one that's wounded, it's lacerated. There's another ready to drop, exhausted and panting. And there the good shepherd has his horn of anointing oil. He doesn't show it to the sheep. That would be of some comfort. It would give a little hope. And sometimes, friend, if we may speak with reverence, the Lord shows us these blessings. But, Lord, it's application. Application. That's what strict Baptists truly stand for. Revelation. Application. Not in the head, in the heart. Put right on the spot, friend. That's what we want. That's what we pray. I pray for faith. I pray to faith to take, trust the promise without the sense of the comfort of it in my soul. But when there's the application, all the strength, all the reviving, all the refreshing, and it's put right on the very spot, and your cup will run over. The Lord is my shepherd. Here it is then, friend. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And we speak with reverence. The hand of the good shepherd is a nail-pierced hand. You are graven on the palms of his hand. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. To think the hand that formed the world, the earth, the sky, the sea, that hand once nailed at Calvary, that hand is holding me. Amen.
I would just say that tea has been lovingly provided and will be served in the schoolroom shortly. Let us conclude with hymn 139. My shepherd will supply my need. Jehovah is his name. In pastures fresh he makes me feed beside the living stream.
Bless, O Lord, thy own precious word. Pardon all spoken amiss. Now, Lord, we commend lovingly, prayerfully, thy dear servant, the beloved pastor here. Bring him again into this pulpit, to this very spot, filled with thy spirit, thy love flowing into his soul, and may it flow into our hearts and crown this day with thy rich blessing, for the praise and honor and glory of thy great and holy name. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you. Amen.